Hello again, Gooners. We're back. And guess what? The music's back. Where did it go last week? Or was it the week before? It's a bit glitchy, though. So it's a 2022 version. Glitchy as anything. Right, I'm just waiting for Alex to join me on this second podcast this year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm often mistaken. So, I think on that next drum beat, I'll stop it. Okay, yeah, you've had enough of that music. But have you had enough of football? Well, I don't know. You've probably had enough of the news that's been coming out lately from the Spurs camp. They're not best pleased about this postponement, are they? Me personally, I'm not really in favour of postponements generally, but this particular one, I thought the timing was right. Why can't Arsenal play that game if every other team's doing it? That's my question. So there's been a lot of anger, I suppose, at the way some of the newspapers are covering this, and not only the newspapers but also the pundits. Gary Neville, for example, his response was pretty strong. I like Gary Neville as a pundit. Game off. This is what he put on his Twitter account. What started out as postponements due to a pandemic. Oh, I think we have somebody here.
Hello, boss. You're right.
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying about the postponement, you know, the Spurs game. Did you want that played or not?
No, definitely not. I've been chatting with my dad about it. Absolutely. Like, if you look at the team that we would have fielded, obviously, there's a few things to take from this. I think it's funny how, when we got our Brentford game, we tried to cancel that, and the Premier League told us to go fuck ourselves. And then we played Chelsea and City. No strikers against Brentford, if you remember. We had Balogun up front. Nobody felt good.
Yeah, that game.
19 games have been postponed this year, but somehow number 20 is the one that sets everyone off. And you just see the hypocrites. It's like, it's okay for, Spurs were moaning, blah, 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 blah. They had all these games in hand. They didn't play for like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks in December. You know, they cancelled their game against Rennes when all the Rennes players had flown over the day before. So I think, hang on a second, what's the difference? Oh, it's Arsenal. And I think, especially when you think about Liverpool, how they probably faked those false positives. Because the statistical chance of it happening is so rare. But they got their game cancelled. Oh, that's fine. But Arsenal, no, because there's only one or two cases of COVID. But if you look at the rules, we've played by the rules. We've said we do not have 13 players and a goalkeeper, so we can postpone the game. And I think the reason why everyone's kicking off is because people are scared of Arsenal. So Pep and Klopp have both said, in the last few weeks, it's a very good Arsenal team, the best Arsenal team in a little while. They're scared.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Such an overreaction to this, this postponement. I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting one, it would get postponed, because I thought Arsenal have to play by a different set of rules to every other team. I know every probably fan of every team says that, but that's how it seemed. I mean, Liverpool, how they got that game, the semi-final, cancelled is totally beyond me.
They cruised me 3 days later, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes the whole thing a bit of a laughing stock. And maybe they should have stopped it all then. But then Arsenal make their attempt of, as you rightly said, Brentford, Arsenal should have had that game called off, because there's no way Arteta would have started with Balogun. I mean, as much as I wanted to see him play, but it wouldn't have happened, would it?
Yeah, the Premier League told us to go fuck ourselves, because it was the first game of the season, Friday night, under the lights. Sky were like, not a chance. And that's why Sky have been so pissed off. You've got Neville and Carragher. I think that's part of it, because this is their Super Sunday gone. You wouldn't know Man City played Chelsea yesterday on Sky, because it wasn't being shown. It was shown on BT Sport. And so they didn't talk about it at all. All they talked about was Arsenal Spurs, Arsenal Spurs, Arsenal Spurs. And you're like, well, I understand you're a business, fine, but don't make me laugh. Like, and for Carragher, especially fucking Carragher, to have a moan, and he goes, oh, you'll be all right for Thursday. What, like your little rat team, the week before, okay, we're happy to play Shrewsbury 3 days later. And, you know, it's just kind of just the hypocrisy, it just stinks. And I'm glad it's pissed so many people off. Because, like I said, for me, it's confirmed or certainly suggested that they're scared of us now. Spurs are definitely scared of us. But even the big teams now are thinking, fucking hell, Arsenal could be somewhere, could be a team next year. They could be a contender next year. You know, if they make some good signings in January, make some good signings in the summer, because I think our first 11 is getting there. We probably need one or two more players in our first 11. And then, you know, our squad. And we can talk about the Liverpool game. Our squad obviously does need some fattening up. But, you know, we're going in the right direction. And certainly the feelings at the club. And, you know, playing against Liverpool. Did you watch the game?
No, I couldn't. I tried, but I just couldn't find a feed. And I couldn't do it in a sort of legit way, even though, you know, we've got a Sky subscription. But you try watching it from anywhere other than the UK, it's got all these blockers, like VPN blockers, yeah. And so you can't do it. It's just a ridiculous blocker, scenario. I haven't been able to do it anyway. I mean, that's what who was it said? One of our colleague of ours, Eddie, said, yeah. Who's a Liverpool fan. He said, yeah, you can watch it on Sky. I said, no, the problem is the Sky app doesn't work except in the UK. Because it's quite sophisticated. They know what they're doing. And even though the VPN would say I'm in the UK, they're saying, no, you're not. And well, what should I do? Should I try? But day passed with Now TV. I thought about that. And I thought, this is nonsense, really. And also, I thought, to be honest, I thought Arsenal definitely going to get turned over at Anfield.
I remember going into that game thinking, so I didn't plan on watching it. My crazy brain just woke me up at 4 in the morning. I was like, oh, it's 15 minutes in, go on then, I'll watch it. So I watched it on my phone in bed. But yeah, they played really well. So I thought Arteta needs a lot of credit for this.
Yeah, you know, really.
With Cedric going off injured, Chambers played really, really well. How Cedric gets a game and Chambers doesn't sometimes, I really don't know. But hopefully Chambers will, yeah, if Tomiyasu doesn't come back, Chambers will play against Liverpool. But what I thought was very impressive is when Xhaka got sent off, Arteta went, right, batten down the hatches. We're going to try and hold on. And I thought Liverpool were poor, if I'm honest. They missed Salah and Mane. They missed runners. They were quite static. And Arsenal, you know, defended quite deep. And Arsenal looked... Liverpool looked more dangerous when Arsenal came out. Liverpool couldn't break Arsenal down because they didn't have runners from deep. And for whatever reason, they weren't playing that way. They looked the most dangerous in the last 15 minutes when the subs came on. Klopp, you know, Gap put three subs on. I can't remember the names. Curtis Jones came on the left. I thought he did okay. But a lad came on the right wing. And he was really, yeah, he was dangerous. But Liverpool were poor, but Arsenal were solid. And, you know, fair play to Arteta. He changed it when Xhaka got sent off. And, you know, yeah, he should be applauded for it. And I thought the boys, they ran themselves silly. You know, Xhaka at the end, you know, Xhaka got taken off because of exhaustion. Martinelli was on the floor at the end. Like, they absolutely run themselves into the ground. And so, you know, it sets it up for an interesting second leg at Arsenal. And it'd be great to beat them. It really would. And I think, yeah, I do. I think the Spurs decision was the right decision to cancel the game because, yeah, we played by the rules. We didn't have enough players. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. At least no false positives that we've heard of just yet. Exactly. So,
two COVID cases. I don't know who they are. I know Odegaard's one. There's another COVID case yesterday. After the announcement.
See, Odegaard was down as just ill at one point.
Yeah, no.
It was confirmed, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he didn't play against Liverpool. Mm. So he's got COVID. Smith Rowe and Tomiyasu have got injuries. I think they're niggles. So, you know, you don't want to risk them coming back. Because we play, obviously, we play Liverpool on Thursday, Burnley on Sunday, and then we've got a 2.5 week break, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fixtures at the end of the season.
Yeah, there will be.
Missed. It's quite a few.
Yeah, now with Spurs, we miss Wolves, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Spurs. Liverpool, the game. So, because the league, Arsenal Liverpool game is, the league game is when the Carabao Cup final is. So, obviously, one of us two will be in the final, so we won't be able to play football. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a pile up. But for Arsenal's sake, you know, we don't have Europe. We're out of the cup now. So, yeah, we will have time to play the fixtures if and where possible. But I wouldn't be surprised if the league gets pushed back a week or something like that, you know. But we'll have to wait and see, really. But, yeah, I think, yeah, Arsenal in our favour is we've only got the league to worry about.
And the Carabao.
And the Carabao, yes, I know. But, yeah, after this game, it'll either be the final or nothing, won't it? So, you know, we don't have a cup run to worry about. We don't have, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have Europe to worry about. So I think, you know, and hopefully Arteta does some business in the transfer window. I imagine he'll do that, get it all sorted after the Burnley game, really.
Yeah, it's dragging on a bit. I mean, we're sort of halfway through the month and nobody's come in. Players gone out. I mean, that's what some of the people are moaning about, saying, well, you know, you shouldn't have got rid of Maitland-Niles. You shouldn't have got rid of Balogun. You got rid of two possible first-team players and now you're crying, saying you can't fulfil fixtures because you haven't got enough outfield players. So, you know, that's why we're not getting a sympathy vote. But at the same time, after all that's happened, it's absolutely ludicrous. The Daily Mail in particular, have you seen some of the headlines? They've really gone after Arsenal. It's shocking, really. I mean, it sort of makes me laugh, to tell you the truth. I don't take it very seriously, but it's really shocking when the media reacts.
Everyone hates it. Yeah, they revel in how bad we are. And this is what happens when you're a successful club, of course. People are jealous. And the Daily Mail is a fucking rag anyway. I wouldn't use it to wipe my ass, but I saw today they especially, and they had this ridiculous graphic where they were like, oh, Arsenal could have fielded a team, and this is how much it's worth, and it's worth 40 million more than the Spurs team, right? But what they did, they didn't put a valuation on Harry Kane. Kane was zero. And Harry Kane, it's just like, so you're just ignoring the fact that, because he was like, oh, well, we got him from the youth. No, that's not how valuations work. If Kane left, you would sell him, you would make money. So, it's just like, how fucking stupid do you think people are? And you're trying to do it just to prove your point. Kane's worth 100 million, easy. You know what I mean? Like, he's a quality striker who scores goals every year. He's wasted at Spurs, and he knows he's wasted at Spurs, which is why he tried to leave in the summer. He's easily 90 million. You know, if you're paying 80 million for old Jadon Sancho, then you're paying a fair bit for Harry Kane.
And 100 million for Grealish, let's not forget.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's not really done well.
Yeah. Are you telling me Kane's not worth that much at least? And I'm sure Spurs will do their absolute best to get more for him. And it's just like, how pathetic are you? Fuck the Daily Mail. But yeah, it's good. Like I said, I've enjoyed seeing how wound up everyone is, because you see the hypocrisy. And, you know, nobody bothered about the other 19 games that were postponed. Nobody's kicked off about Leicester. You know, Leicester had their game postponed the day before. Nobody kicked off about that. They bring it on. Absolutely, bring it on. And it's like I said, for me, it shows people are scared of Arsenal a little bit now. They realise that we're on the ascent.
What about, how did you, I mean, I had the same sort of issue with getting feeds for the FA Cup as well. So
it was funny.
I couldn't watch that either. I couldn't find the feed.
No, I could find the feed. I just decided not to watch it. I think, was it?
I didn't fancy Arsenal. at all. I did say it before the game because my son said, "Do you think?" He said, "I'm putting money on Arsenal to beat Forest." I said, "I wouldn't if I were you." He said, "Yeah, but only Forest," and I said, "No, they're not only Forest." Because I'll tell you what I wanted to mention, which is unusual for me criticising Arteta, because I certainly don't want to do that very much, particularly right now. But I wasn't so sure this was a good move. I don't know if you saw the newspaper articles with him saying he was sort of bigging up Nottingham Forest, telling all the players about Nottingham Forest's history. Now, as a bit of a closet historian, I've got no problem with that, but I thought, it feels to me like he's going in a bit too respectful. I mean, do you think that would have made any impact at all?
Perhaps. I think maybe he was covering his own arse because he knew.
Yeah.
If you said to him, right, you can beat Liverpool, beat Spurs, lose to Forest, he would have gone, fine, absolutely, I'll take that deal right now. And I think most fans would. I don't think we're in the semi-final, decent chance of getting to the final. We want to get top four. That's the main priority. Winning the Carabao Cup would be a lovely Brucey bonus. Obviously, if you win the Carabao, you're back into Europe anyway. But we want top four, and I think we're in a strong position for top four. So I think a few people would have gone, the FA Cup's not that important. And he rested a few players, didn't he? He did rotate. Because he was worried that the Liverpool game, obviously the Spurs game, and you know, all these games in quick succession. So I think he was like, right, get a few of the squad players out. And if you saw that right at the end, he subbed on Kolasinac, didn't he? And it was basically saying to the board, look what I've got left. You know, we need some more players. So I think it was like, while he said he was disappointed, and they did play shit. I think they played shit. Partly because a few of the players haven't had minutes. So, Tavares played pretty bad. He got subbed off, which is a little bit unfairly, but he wasn't the worst player, but he was pretty terrible. But he hasn't had any minutes. So, you can kind of understand. And I think Arteta does maybe need to work on his rotation a little bit, because Tavares, for me, is one of that 14 that we want, that we need to keep. Lacong was another one, and they both need minutes to continue their development. Obviously Xhaka now has got himself sent off. My dad actually said this, so he misses, the two games he misses, Liverpool and Burnley. Now that's a blessing in disguise, because he's fucking terrible against Burnley. You remember last year?
Oh God, yeah, he was playing for them.
Yeah, he was Xhaka, wasn't it? In the home game, he got himself sent off, and we were winning and we lost or something like that, didn't we? But his sending off changed the game. And then at Burnley, he gave him a goal. He kicked the ball. It was a really weird goal, wasn't it? Do you remember?
It was the strangest goal we've ever seen. Yeah, I won't forget that. It was like a cross to an opponent.
Yeah,
he took him an open goal. I mean, and he was even more than that, because he drove it with such force that the guy only had to sort of stick his body in the way and it was in.
Well, the boy got hit, the man got hit, he didn't do anything. That was
I know. He was just like, he was standing there and he just got whacked with the ball and it was a goal. He didn't even celebrate, was it? It weren't Chris Wood, was it? It was one of those big lumps that got up front. We've only got one big lump now that he's gone to Newcastle.
So that's not a bad thing that he committed, I won't lie. And I think against Burnley at home, we'll probably be able to pull through. What we do against Liverpool will be interesting. I think we're going to struggle. I don't know who we're going to play in midfield. There's supposed to be that room we're getting that Arthur Milo as a short.
Yeah.
And there's Bruno Guimaraes. Is another one. I wouldn't put it past maybe getting like Wilshere on a short term deal, but I don't think Arteta's keen on that. No, he doesn't, does he? Like, because he would have done it by now, I think, if it was going to happen. But we do need to get players in. Definitely, we need to get players in. A couple of new signings. After the Burnley game, we've got 2.5 week break, and it's a long, big push to the end of the year. I know maybe an international break in March, but so I think Arsenal got a good opportunity to get top four, but they need to strengthen their squad a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying, this Liverpool semi, even though it's because it's only half the job done.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, they're playing today, which is good. So I hope Arsenal will be well rested. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, you know. And we haven't beaten Liverpool, you know, for a while, have we?
Yeah, it was in... Wasn't it in the FA Cup when... is that the last time in the FA Cup when Arsenal made it and won it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's the last time I seem to read. And I remember being just as pessimistic that time, saying, there's no chance. Because Arsenal had to beat Man City, Liverpool, to get to that final. So I basically was... Every time Arsenal were playing... I watched all those games, but... Because somehow I could manage to get a feed at the time, or I went out and watched it. I can't remember. But the thing was, I had no optimism whatsoever. And then obviously Arteta lifted the cup, you know, and managed to win a bit of silverware. That's the other thing I wanted to mention. Spurs. I don't normally moan about Spurs a lot, but I found this website. I forgot the name of it, probably just as well. And this website claimed that Spurs have been finishing above Arsenal for 7 years. And I thought, what? Don't they do maths in Tottenham? Is that 7 years? Because I made it, it's about five.
Yeah.
Five, roughly, I think. Yeah. Maybe six if this year happened, but it might not, right? Because Arsenal are higher than them for now, at least. They've got a couple of games in hand. But they conveniently forget the trophies that Arsenal won in that period of time, which has been a barren period for them. They've won nothing at all. They clearly have totally glossed over the fact that Arsenal finished second to Leicester. So that never happened. So they basically invent history as they go. I was just so irritated. I mean, it wasn't an out-and-out Spurs website. It was like you know, something, The Game, it was called. I can't remember it. I've never seen them. People's Game, that was it.
Yo, I found it here. They've 2017, 2018,
2019, 2020, 21.
But, yeah, that's, I think, it.
Yeah, so... Five, yeah, I think so. I tried to write them a message, but it just didn't seem to go to.
Yeah, like you say, all these trophies that we've won, and then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and they've won nothing. They haven't won.
They can airbrush history though, and make it and put out a DVD if they manage, you know, to get to half time and it's 0-0 with Arsenal. It's still an achievement for them, really. I shouldn't mock Spurs too much, but you know, the thing is. And, you know, when I was looking at the team, you know, their team selection, I still thought, when I sort of was semi going along with what the Daily Mail was saying, because looking at the first 11, I thought, well, yeah, maybe Arsenal could have beaten them, actually. But the issue was subs. There weren't. Yeah.
Well, they had Matty at right back. They had Ben White in midfield. Like,
yeah, that's true. And that would be a big deal.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Like,
yeah.
It's a bit ridiculous, really. The whole thing was, it's been 5 years. And, you know, last year, Spurs finished seventh and we finished eighth. There's nothing to be particularly proud of.
No.
You know. So, this has been our worst few years. You know, with Wenger leaving, you know, the last few years of Wenger. And then, obviously, Emery and whatever else. So, but yeah, like Spurs, I fully expect us to finish above them. Well, I don't fully expect us. I think we've got a very good chance of finishing above them. And I think we are a better team than they are. I don't think, you know, they were shit against Chelsea, weren't they? They were fucking rubbish against Chelsea. So for me, I'm confident. But, you know, I certainly feel like we're on the ascendancy.
It feels that way. Especially if we can get another result against Liverpool. Can you see it happening, though? Can you really see Arsenal beating Liverpool?
I don't think Liverpool, if they, you know, without Salah and Mane, you know, like, are Liverpool a good team? Of course. Are they a better team? Are they at their best? No, they're not, you know, and there's a reason why we're not that far behind them in the league. You know, and, you know, this is a team that played incredibly well against City. You know, and was unlucky not to get a result. Xhaka again didn't help us there. And this is a team that weren't scared of playing at Anfield. You know, they didn't play like they battled. So I think is there a chance? Absolutely. If Arsenal turn up, and I think Arsenal are starting. That's the big thing, is it? Arsenal need to continue this consistency and continue to turn up. And certainly, I think we've had slowly this season, we are becoming a bit more consistent. If you think of how many bad games we've had, you know, Everton United were the last two bad games in the league. Forest, obviously that was a stinker. But yeah, we're not having as many bad games. So, yeah, we just need to continue performing the way that we are, really.
Yeah, it seems that way. And so
I'm confident. Yeah, we can do. Yeah, if Liverpool play their best, it'll be difficult, but we'll have fans. It's at our ground. All the fans at the game are very positive. Yeah, the atmosphere is really good, and it's certainly helped our young players.
Because Patino, did he play in the Liverpool game? I'm trying to remember.
No, he didn't.
He didn't play.
He played against Forest.
He started, didn't he, against Forest?
He's considered one of the players that could have played.
Yeah, and he was put down, wasn't he, by the Daily Mail in the lineup? So I don't think he's probably. I haven't really seen enough of him to say, but just judging by what people are saying, he's probably not quite ready yet.
No, I don't. He's too young. He's too small. Yeah. He'll spend next year at the club. He'll beef up a little bit, and then I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out on loan the following season. Maybe like Balogun has. And yeah, it's good news. It's good for Balogun to go out on loan. He'll play next year, I think, a bit more. You know, Saliba coming back. So he's another. And I think Arteta, you know, Saliba's been playing well. Arteta's like, right, now's the time to bring him back. We've got those two as well. Good squad players to have, I think. I think Arsenal, in the starting 11, they need another central midfielder and a striker. And then subs. You know, we need another right back. We need probably another midfielder who's not Elneny or Xhaka. Maybe a winger. We're not far off, I don't think.
Yeah, it's beginning to look like this team could be successful. So what about additions to this team? Who are you thinking of?
The midfielder, I think Melo is a short-term thing. I think in terms of Bruno Guimaraes, who I've heard a bit about but not much, a lot of people rave about him. So I think they're the main two. But there's lots of options out there. I know in Arteta and Edu, they'll probably sign someone who we've not heard of or who's not on our radar. Certainly their scouting in the summer was very good. So whoever they get in, I'll support. Because they've certainly got a lot of credit in the bank when it comes to transfers after the summer. In terms of the strikers, the big one is that Vlahovic, isn't it?
The big one's what, sorry?
Vlahovic.
Oh, yeah. I keep hearing yes, it might, and then no, it probably won't. And it's just been ongoing. It's turning into a bit of a transfer saga, that one.
It is supposedly, it's the player wants to come. If Twitter is to be believed, the player wants to come. The thing that's is the agent. His agent wants
6 million.
Yeah, and Arsenal are like, we don't pay agent fees that bad. And so I think they've had to negotiate with the club are happy. Florentino are happy with the offer. We're selling them Torreira as well. Supposedly, it's about 50-odd million pounds plus Torreira. The player wants to sign. It's just the agent fees. So hopefully in the next couple of days, it'll be announced.
Yeah, let's just hope that goes through. I was just looking at... Yeah.
Yeah, even if we get a player, a midfielder like Melo as a stopgap, fine. In the summer, I think they'll go big.
Yeah, Melo. How old is Melo? I don't know much about this Melo.
27, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a few players being linked with Arsenal. What about our mate Coutinho? He did all right. He did all right the weekend.
He did. Like, of course. I think for Arsenal, it's not the right.
Yeah, I know.
And as well, we don't need a 10. We've got Odegaard. We don't need a winger. We need a striker and we need a midfielder. I think credit's due. Lacazette has been fantastic. I think getting a striker in now is helping us, because Aubameyang, I don't know what's going to go on with Aubameyang. Maybe he'll come back, but certainly he's not as effective as Lacazette is up top. So it's kind of like, well, you know, do we want Aubameyang back, or is it better just to get rid of him because he can't play the way we want to play? And Arsenal have been a hell of a lot better since he's left. So, you know, since he's been dropped and then, subsequently left. So, I think personally we should get rid of Aubameyang and get a striker in now. I think it's kind of forced our hand a little bit, but almost in a good way. And the midfielder, obviously, Xhaka's suspended. I know Partey and Elneny will come back after the Burnley game, pretty much. So it's only two more games. Maybe we don't. But I think, how much longer are we going to rely on Xhaka for?
Yeah, it's getting beyond a joke, really. I mean, how many red cards have we had?
Yeah, and it's like, he's our second best midfielder at the club. And he's an all right player. But if you want someone to win you a league, he hasn't got the ability. He's not who you have in your midfield if you want to win the league. And it's telling, in the 5 years he's been at Arsenal, we've never been in the Champions League.
It's not a coincidence.
Yeah, of course. So for me, I think, keep him in the squad maybe, but he should not be our starting midfielder. And our reliance on him is too much. So, I don't think Arteta will get rid of him, but we need someone else. And I think Arteta knows that. I don't think Arteta's stupid. So hopefully we get someone in. Because if we don't, he's still going to be our midfielder until the end of the year. So that's why, kind of for me, it's important they do get someone in. And then the striker situation as well. If Lacazette gets injured, who have we got? Nketiah? Mm. Aubameyang doesn't fit the system.
You heard about the heart lesion, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah. He's had a bit of a stinker of a year, isn't he? Like, he's had COVID again. I know the second time it was his fault. Like, he was in a fucking nightclub. And like, three of the people he was with all tested positive, I think. So, he doesn't make himself. But he had malaria last year. He had COVID last year. His mum is ill. So he's not having a good time of it. But from a football point of view, he doesn't fit how we want to play. We're looking for a different type of striker, like a Calvert-Lewin or a Vlahovic. So it would make sense. Well, it's an opportunity to get rid of him, really.
Mm. I don't know how recent this news is about Arthur Melo. Fabrizio Romano says, next week will be key. Arsenal have decided to push again with Juve. Loan move not approved yet by Allegri. Juve board has not opened talks with Chelsea for Loftus-Cheek as a potential replacement.
Yeah, they want a replacement, don't they, before they let us have him.
But you think he's a step up from Xhaka anyway, you reckon?
I think probably. I think he's less brain dead than Xhaka.
A lot of people qualify in that sense. Quite a lot. 98% or more of the population might qualify. Can you tick that box? Less brain dead than what? Xhaka. Yeah, I can tick the box.
I think it's... I'm just trying to find him on Twitter now. So, yeah, there we go. So this is 18 hours ago. So they're waiting to get a replacement, aren't they? So I think it's a short-term stopgap, and I suspect they'll go big in the summer. I think they'll try and get Vlahovic done now. So I think it makes sense to get it done now. We've still got 2 weeks in the transfer window. And look at Everton. Everton are doing shit. Are you telling me that if we went for Calvert-Lewin now, he wouldn't go? Absolutely. He's an Arsenal fan. Yeah. So I think we're looking to get a striker this transfer window. And if we can shift Uber off the wage bill, that's 250 grand a week off the wages, then yeah, happy days, really. Pablo Mari is going to go to leave us as well. So we're slowly getting rid of a few of the shit. I think Arteta's learned from his mistakes a little bit. Hopefully we can get rid of Cedric, but nobody wants him, do they? Everyone knows how fucking rubbish he is.
How long's he got left in his deal? Is it one and a bit years, probably?
We signed him last year on a 4-year deal.
Wow.
We got our pants pulled down by that. Absolutely. And so I think we're just going to have to, I don't think he's on huge amounts of money, but I think we're just going to have to suffer. I don't think anyone else wants him. Southampton were genuinely surprised when we signed him, because they were like, what is shit? We know he's shit. Why do you want him? And
there was a point in time though when people thought he was good. Yeah, if you ask Mark, they thought he was good at Southampton for a while, and there were. Yeah. He said it was just agent talk, but there were rumours he was going to move to Barcelona or someone. It obviously never happened. Yeah, but and I've been fooled by him too. Like in a couple of games, I thought he was really good. I remember him scoring a really good goal, which is difficult for a fullback. They don't get that many goals. So I was really impressed with him. Not to the same level I was impressed with Tavares, though. But I was quite impressed with him. And now I'm not anymore this season. Every time I've seen him, I've just groaned, really. He's just a slight, tiny little step up from Kolasinac. Kolasinac, when he first arrived, everyone was raving about the tank. And now... not anymore. No, and I liked it when he fought off those. You remember those guys that attacked Ozil? I thought, I like what Kolasinac did then. I had a lot of respect for that. But no, I just don't understand how a guy who had a reasonable amount of talent, and pretty strong, has just turned into something else. And I don't even know what to describe him as. But I actually groan when I see him on the pitch now. And I fear the worst. Yeah. So, like you said. Probably got played in one of the games recently, just purely to show the board, that money needs to be spent to strengthen this squad because it's just not deep enough, is it?
Yeah. So the starting 11 is nearly complete. Other than that, we're struggling.
It's so true. I don't know. It's very hard to predict this window because the players that have moved. They're not players that get me particularly excited. Even Coutinho, I said what I said to you, like a little bit tongue in cheek, really, because I wasn't that keen to have him at Arsenal because, like you said, doesn't fit the age profile. I thought he'll probably have a few good games to start with, then he'll go off the boil, and then it'll just be another massive amount of money being shelled out every week on a player that doesn't play much or doesn't really want to play because he's already done it. So that was how I felt about it, although he has got a lot of talent. And then the other guy that I would have been slightly interested in, only because of the injury situation at the moment, you're going to bite my head off on this, Trippier. I thought Newcastle did well bringing him in.
Yeah, I don't think he's a mug, is he? Like, obviously, England international. I think for Arsenal, I think we do need a right back, what's it called? A sub right back. I think Trippier, though, would be of the mindset that he wants to play.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. He wouldn't be like a squad player. He definitely wouldn't be a squad player. So, I want to say a big shout out to Code2319 who's just joined us. Thanks for joining. So going back to Trippier and the other sign in, Newcastle brought in Chris Wood.
Yeah, of course. I'm they're more than welcome to me. He definitely not at that level, is he?
Not for me. Not for me either. I'm curious. I watched the Newcastle game because I was just curious to see how that's going to work, because they didn't seem to me the sort of team that would want to have him. I mean, yeah, he can be quite effective sometimes, but in his sort of big lumpy way. But I just thought, no, I don't think it's going to work. But I suppose it's a plan B. But he barely got the ball at all. It wasn't the best of debuts. But Trippier was good. But that wasn't his debut, was it? Because Trippier's first game, they lost to some ridiculous team. I forget who it was. some Mickey Mouse team. Even more Mickey Mouse than Forest. I shouldn't say that. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're further down. Like Cambridge, wasn't it? Somebody like that. I can't remember who they lost to. In the cup. What's that?
It was a really, really bad team. It was worse. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was more.
Yeah, different level. Different level. Like, at least with Forest. At least with Forest. Oh, it was Cambridge. Yeah, thanks for that. It was Cambridge. I didn't check. We just got a message saying yes, it is Cambridge. But yeah, that was a shocker for them to lose to Cambridge. Because there I was thinking, like a number of Arsenal fans, when all that money came in, a number of Arsenal fans were saying, right, the new rivals will be Newcastle. Because do you see that happening in the future? That Newcastle.
So when Newcastle were bought, all the other Premier League owners voted to have restrictions on what money can be spent, etc., etc. So like almost like their own financial fair play a little bit, to prevent the Saudis owners of Newcastle just spunking loads and loads of money. So it has to. So City were one of the main people, and it's basically now you can't just go in and sugar daddy a club. So the Premier League changed the rules as soon as Newcastle were bought to prevent it happening. You know, nobody wants to give up power, do they? So I think, will Newcastle get better? Yes, they've got a massive fan base, loyal fans. But I think it's going to take a few years, certainly. Yeah, you know, remember with City, the owners came in. It took about 3-4 years for them to really, you know. So I think with Newcastle, well, yeah, you know, they'll be careful, be lucky not to get relegated at the minute.
Yeah, exactly. I was shocked they couldn't hang on to that lead. I'd be surprised if they can hang on to St. Maximin. I suppose they've got the money to. That guy's dynamite. Really, he's a sort of, I'm not sure how old he is, but I wouldn't be upset if Arsenal signed him. I couldn't see that happening, but I wouldn't be at all upset if he joined. He's got such a work rate. He's not just that, he's skillful. Did you see his goal? It's pretty spectacular. Basically a one-man team. He is a one-man team. He can get the ball and just run at players, and they just back off, and they just don't know. He's fast, and it was a great finish. You know, it was something else. So yeah, it was entertaining. In the wake of our postponement, I thought I'll watch at least one other game. Because obviously I was saving myself for the Arsenal Spurs game, and now that's not happening. But you know, normally when games are postponed, I'm so disappointed. But obviously, not this time. So so it's Burnley up. It's Burnley up and Liverpool. So, is it Burnley away? I didn't check the fixtures.
Yeah, no, Burnley at home.
Burnley at home. Yeah. And now they've lost Chris Wood. That's half their threat gone, really.
Yeah.
And they're right, rooted at the bottom of the league, last I looked. So, Burnley?
Yeah, they're bottom of the league.
Yeah, they're bottom. So, yeah, that doesn't mean it's going to be an easy game, because as we know, the old cliche, there are no easy games. And that's living proof, really, because, you know. Anyway, we're getting compliments. It says, from Code 2319, the message is, if Arsenal want to progress, they should not look at teams as Newcastle, like Newcastle, yeah, to strengthen. Yeah, maybe that's true. But I just like St. Maximin. I like him. I've liked him ever since I first saw that guy. Just thought he's a top player.
I agree with. But yeah. Bang average. Like, yeah, look at, yeah, now I completely agree with him. Absolutely bang. He's all right. Like, he has flashes of brilliance, but if he's any good, Joe, Newcastle will not
they are, wouldn't they?
The thing is, you're only as good as the players around you sometimes. That's what I'm saying. Because, you know, when you look at some of the, oh my God, well, I felt sorry for Trippier as well. I really felt sorry for him because the players he was playing with were not up to it. It was like Fraser, I think it is. His back heel. He did a back heel. And Fraser's sort of, he's a hard working, honest player and can't dislike him. But he ran to the not byline, but he was near the byline. He just, instead of just doing a simple pass, he tried to back heel it to Trippier and it just went into touch. I was just going, oh my God, how is he going to survive? How's Trippier going to survive with this? I mean, just the look on his face just made me laugh. I was just going, oh my God. Imagine if you've come like, because he must have sort of improved. And he always had quite a good skill base anyway. And he's probably come back to UK thinking, you know, I'm going to get some decent money here, play for Newcastle, Premier League. They surely can't be that bad. And then that's the sort of thing that was going on around him. He had to tidy up so much. I'm surprised, you know, like with fantasy football, how is it that sometimes these players that play quite well get no bonus points whatsoever? I just don't understand how they do the bonus points. I know you said you'd never talk to me about fantasy football but I've broken that rule.
Goals and assists, I think, isn't it? No idea, but I think it's a bit... Yeah, it's a bit like VAR, isn't it? Nobody really knows.
Yeah.
I think, absolutely. We don't want to be looking at players that are in fighting relegation battles if we can avoid it. Unless they're young, you know, and obviously too big for the club. I mean, Calvert-Lewin, for me, you know, one of those players. But, yeah, he's right. Like, for me, we've got to be looking at... You know, I think Arsenal's model is that, yeah, they look for young players... Possibly abroad, who can, we bought Ramsdale from Sheffield United, but you know, it has to be a special player.
Yeah, Ramsdale, obviously, we've been through that a few times. You know, neither of us were sold on the idea of bringing him in, but once he was in, I think, well, we never really dissed him, as they say. We didn't sort of lay into it, just said it sounds like a lot of money. So at least both of us don't have any guilt trip over him. It's funny, some of the other, you know, the other podcasts and websites and blogs, they just absolutely hammered Ramsdale, didn't they? And then, until they saw what he was like, and then they realised they made a big mistake. Yeah, this guy is something else. So hopefully he can do the business... against Liverpool, because he might have to have one of those sort of games, you know.
Well, he had a bit of a stinker on Thursday. I thought he looked very nervous. I think it was the occasion got to him a little bit.
Really?
He
catch a clean sheet.
He did keep a clean sheet. It's just he came for crosses when he didn't need to. He wasn't his normal. Wasn't his normal solid self. I think the occasion got to him. It was in the second half more than the first half. He's at the Klopp end. And I think, he kept a clean sheet, but part of the reason he kept a clean sheet was the back five. He played five at the back for most of the game after Xhaka was solid. But absolutely. Ben White deservedly was man of the match. Yeah. James has played incredibly well. Gabriel played pretty well. Holding played pretty well. Tierney, all of them played well. So Ramsdale played all right, but he was a bit shaky at times. But you know, it happens. He's a young player, first semi-final he's ever played in, probably. So and you're going to get this with the young players, aren't you? It's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride. I feel confident going into the Liverpool game. I think they're rightly a bit wary of us. Yeah, there's a reason why they cancelled or postponed the game with those false positives. So, I'm quite confident, and I think Burnley, we've got enough, even with a makeshift team, to beat them.
Let's hope so. I just feel we need a world-class performance from Ramsdale. Code 2319 says Ramsdale's best buy ever. find it hard to argue with that, actually. He's got to be up there. I can't think of a goalkeeper that's ever come to Arsenal that I've been happier with. David Seaman, I was pretty happy with back in the day.
Yeah.
And going back further than that, you know, we're talking ancient times. We're talking really long way back. I mean, Pat Jennings was a great acquisition and he was cheap. But aside from that, I can't really think. Oh, I'll tell you who I liked a lot. The guy who ended up in Italy, who deputised, I think, for David Seaman. What was his name? Manninger. He was a top keeper. I liked Manninger. Yeah, do you remember Manninger? He had a good run of games. I'm not sure how many clean sheets he kept, but he kept Arsenal in the title race. And then who else? There has been a few, but they're not. Ramsdale's so much better than all of them. Like, even Manninger. I love Manninger, but I love Ramsdale more. And then who was the other one? There was who was a decent keeper for many years. Lukic. So, but then I suppose I can't stop thinking about the Almunias of this world. Even Fabianski, we forget how bad he was for Arsenal. He was, I thought he was one of the worst keepers I've ever seen at Arsenal. Not now. He's sort of come out of it somehow.
I can't forgive him. I knew he was rubbish when Lehmann got sent off in the Champions League final. Almunia let two goals in at the near post. I went, you're not good enough for Arsenal. And we kept him for about 4 or 5 years after.
I think Wenger had a theory that the goalkeeper wasn't a very important position. Honestly, I don't know that for a fact, but it's just a theory I've got. Because some people say that it's not a very, very important position to fill. And so you can get by with a pretty rubbish or average goalkeeper. And so I think he was trying to prove a point, and he didn't manage to prove it, unfortunately. Because I think the goalkeeper is one of the most important positions on the pitch, in my opinion, because I think the confidence flows from that position. It moves upwards up the pitch. Because when you've got a good goalkeeper, you feel more relaxed. Because if you've got some bag of nerves, like Fabianski used to look like a bag of nerves to me, I mean, at Arsenal, because being a big club, not saying the other clubs are not, well, they're clearly not as big, but, you know, he seems okay now. He's not a terrible keeper, but he was absolutely awful for every time I saw him. He looked small. I know he's not small, but he actually looked small in the goal, because I was sitting behind the goal, Arsenal-Chelsea, and he did concede. I don't remember what the score was. I think Arsenal won it, actually. It was Boxing Day, 2010, I think. So somebody can check that up for me. But that's my recollection. I think he conceded, but the goal looked absolutely huge. You know, like, they normally sort of fill it out a bit because they are tall people, aren't they, generally? And he's tall, but he looks small because he's just, I don't know, he's a diminutive in his psychology or something. I don't know what it is about him. But, yeah, he was just a total bag of nerves. And I remember the first game I ever saw Fabianski play. It was against Barnet, friendly match. Ball came up and he went to catch it and he just totally dropped it. And so, hence the nickname. And this wasn't me. Somebody called him, Flappy Hansky.
Another one. So, with goalkeeper's, Brian Clough said it years ago. He said the two highest paid players in any team would be the striker and the goalkeeper. The striker gets your goals, the goalkeeper stops goals. Defenders and midfielders are only designed to help the goalkeeper or the attacker achieve his main aim. But goals win games, right? Wenger, this is the beginning of the end. Wenger, the fucking Almunia was awful. Like, he was absolutely bang on it. He's a championship or poor premiership goalkeeper. Flappy Hansky, even worse, you know. And shocking. Chesney was supposed to be quite good, but I think he was coached poorly.
Something went wrong with Chesney. He had a lot of potential.
Wenger was losing it with Chesney in the sense like that you're ill discipline.
Smoking in the changing room. Do you remember that when he got caught smoking?
And Wenger always looked after him. He's like a kind old man to them, and that's part of the reason we're in the trouble that we are now. That culture of mediocrity is okay. But Almunia, nothing you say is going to change. Like, he's fucking rubbish. And I, every time he played, I was like, I can't believe our manager thinks that this is a good enough goalkeeper. When you had United had De Gea, Chelsea had Cech, we had Almunia. What a joke. And it was embarrassing. And he's responsible for... He was like a Xhaka. He just always had a mistake in him. But yeah, you know, it's such an important position. So frustrating. Your man...
The League Cup? Do you remember the League Cup or whatever it was called at the time? Do you remember when he collided with Koscielny? And then...
That was Szczesny, wasn't it?
I was...
Yeah, that's Szczesny.
What I'm talking about. Szczesny collided with Koscielny. They went for the same ball, didn't they? And messed it up. Yeah. And then they had Chelsea... Because Arsenal had taken the lead through Theo Walcott. And then I thought, Arsenal might hang on to this.
You're confusing your games. This, it was against Birmingham at Wembley.
It was Birmingham. Sorry.
I went to the Chelsea one in Wales where Walcott scored, I think, his first ever goal he scored in the final. And Terry got kicked in the face and we had to wait like 15 minutes. Like, it was a big delay. We lost that. Birmingham was Koscielny and Szczesny. Martinez, your man, code 2390. Martinez, I quite like Martinez. I think we've talked about this before with Martinez and Leno. I think Arteta had to make a choice. Basically, Martinez, from what I can gather, Martinez said, after he won the FA Cup with Arsenal, Martinez said, I want to be first team goalkeeper. I want to be playing all the time. And Leno, at the time, was number one. So Arteta could have lied and said, fine, you'll be number one. He signs a new contract and then he's still reserve. Or Arteta had to choose one of them. And Arteta, hindsight's a beautiful thing, but Arteta chose Leno. And I think it was pretty early doors when we realised, oh, Arteta's made the wrong choice. But, you know, did you see Martinez last night? You know, it's the stinker against United. I think Martinez is a good goalie. For me, it was always a case of, there's a reason why he's at six different clubs in 10 years, you know, and players can play well when they're possibly thinking they're in the shop window. Like, look at Willock last year, Aubameyang before he got his new contract. Yeah, so I think there's an element of it, of that behind it. I'd have Ramsdale all day long over the pair of them. And he's asked another question. He goes, maybe Arsenal had bad goalies behind not so good defences. Absolutely. Absolutely. The defenders, apart from Bakary Sagna, a lot of the defenders that we had post 2006 from the Almunia stage, I don't think were world class. Koscielny, good, not world class. Vermaelen, injury prone, good, not world class. Potentially could have been world class, but they never were. Mertesacker, average, you know, a bit of a cult hero because he's so fucking big, but slow as a cart horse. Left back, you look at Gibbs. I never rated Gibbs particularly. Even Clichy. I thought Clichy was a poor man's Ashley Cole. Clichy, for me, got bullied, and I think he was a bit of a pussy, really. I thought they were good defenders, but I never thought they were great. And, you know, people like Drogba or world-class like Suarez used to bully him. Yeah, here and there, especially away from home. Like Sylvester, remember when we signed him? Fuck me, he was terrible.
Who was the worst since if you had to name the worst defender you've ever seen?
Well, Sylvester's definitely up there.
For me, he might get, I'm not sure I'd give him even top three. I'm not sure. Maybe. I'd have Sendros probably be my number two. It's one of those other guys that I can't remember the name of. Hot Stepper. What's it? Stepanovs. Stepanovs would be my number one worst defender I've ever seen. Okay. There's a story about him. Have you ever read the story? It was all a bit of a con job. Like Arsene Wenger got conned.
The players were like, oh, yeah, he's really good.
Why would they do that, though? Why? I mean, that's a story I read somewhere.
I don't think they could believe that Wenger would be so gullible, really. But I've heard that story. Yeah, he was pretty shocking. I felt sorry for Senderos because he always got bullied by Drogba. But Senderos was a young player, wasn't he? Like, we put him in quite young. And if you remember, Senderos was part of that back four that got us to the Champions League final. You remember, we had Lauren right back.
Yeah, he was decent.
Senderos and Flamini was the left back. And they got us to the Champions League.
Was left back. Yeah, you're right. Definitely.
They got to the Champions League final, and they only conceded, I think, one goal in all of the knockout stages against Villarreal in the, if you remember. So, I think it was Villarreal. I thought Arsenal, Senderos, he wasn't the worst, definitely, for me. I thought Sylvester was pretty bad. We've had a few shockers, definitely. We have had a few shockers. But I just think we've suffered with a, it's never been elite. It's been a while since we've had an elite team, or playing elite football. Maybe not elite players, but certainly playing elite football. Not being scared, not being bullied. And that's one thing about the Liverpool game is they weren't bullied. They fought. And against City, we fought. And against, we're starting to show more grit, more determination. And, Koscielny, Ozil, all of these players that played in the tens, up until Wenger left. And even with Emery, gutless. I think back to those years with Wenger, and I'm angry from about 2010 onwards, maybe 2009. It was just gutless. They were gutless players. Koscielny for me was gutless. He wasn't a leader. And I think Wenger, he'd done certain players a disservice. I thought, so Fabregas, for example. When Fabregas left, I was sad. But Fabregas needed better players around him. And Wenger was so stubborn. But no, I think he's got a point. The defenders weren't very good, and the goalkeepers weren't very good either. But we were signing bang average players, and I think we're hopefully going to get away from that. Although, obviously, Mari, Cedric, they're both shockers, aren't they? Willian was a stinker. So, Arteta's still got it in him. Hopefully, he's learning from it.
I was just looking up the other defenders that played about the same time as Senderos. So, other defenders of the same era. Do you remember Correa? Gilbert only had a couple of games. Giroud, though. What about Giroud? I quite like Giroud,
Again, he's all right. Nothing special. Yeah. This is another word for shit, isn't it? he was okay. But he was a youth player. So I can't really get angry at him or Senderos. Because when they're young, you have to question a little bit, I feel, the coaching that they're receiving. And I think it's fair to say that Wenger doesn't really know how to defend. He never knew how to defend.
No, that's true.
And I think it was never noticed until he had to coach his own defenders. Because, he inherited that back four from George Graham. And it was, Keown was there till what, 2004? Campbell sort of carried it on a bit. When Campbell left, and we're getting people like Senderos who need to be coached. So that 2006 team, Keown, I think it was Keown, came back and coached them.
That's true. Yeah. And then after that, he got kicked out. Didn't make any sense whatsoever.
But I have to question the coach. I remember Steve Bold was there for a few years, and we were all quite happy when Steve Bold came in. Hopefully he'll teach them how to defend. I think Wenger refused to let him coach or ignored him because it was so power hungry. Certainly Steve Bold had an effect on the Arsenal defence that we wanted him to have on the Arsenal defence. But Wenger didn't know how to defend. He inherited that back four. But it was only more noticeable than people like Giroud, Senderos. So I thought potentially good turned out to be duffers. And you're like, when we went with Project Youth, and we just, as a team, we weren't very good at defending. As a team, we played amazing football. It was beautiful football. Pulled out the artwork, pass, try and walk it in. But defensively, you know, Chelsea were power. You remember the Chelsea days, you know, when they first won the league and then when they won it again, like 09 or 010 or whatever it was. You had absolute fucking new, like Drogba, Essien, Lampard, you know, put the boot in. Terry, you know, Ivanovic, fucking tanks. Strong, fast, powerful athlete. And, you know, it's where the game was changing. I think
Wenger just, I mean, I could sort of see why he was making the changes he was making. Because remember, he'd sort of decided it wasn't all about power. Because of Barcelona's success, it was all like tiki-taka. And I suppose that's why he had Fabregas, Flamini, small guys. Well, Flamini could put the boot in, actually. But he would never get turned over by somebody. But at the same time, when you look at the rest of the squad, like you said, even I loved Clichy, but he wasn't the toughest. He wasn't the toughest compared to like Ashley Cole.
Cole was spiteful. Cole was horrible. Cole never really got bullied. I thought
seen him get bullied. Never.
They always used to put Kevin Davis on him because of just the height difference. Yeah. And they just falls into the back. Whatever. Because it was Kevin Davis. But yeah, it was. I just felt they were too nicey-nice. And it was all like, let's play nice football. And it's just like, and we lacked that steel. You know, when Vieira wasn't there and Gilberto left, we lacked that steel. We lacked that those guts. And it was there. And I think now we're starting to see a team that won't be rolled over, that does fight for each other. And, you know, Ben White likes a foul. Gabriel's a fucking beast. You know, so... And I think Partey can be.
Yeah, and they do it in the right way too. They're not like our good friend Shaka, you know, who just does it in the totally wrong way. He doesn't actually do any damage to the player, but he gets himself sent off, so damages the team. But I did want to, again, big up Shaka for once. First, twice now I've done it in my whole life, because he did apologise this time.
He did. So I'll give him that.
I want to say, you know, give him some credit. At least he seems to have learned something.
But me too.
Of course I'm unhappy about it. And somehow or other, Arsenal got through that game, you know, without conceding. But, you know, just another one of those games and then beat Liverpool on penalties. I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's just about getting through, isn't it, really?
That's all it is.
You know, if I'm honest with you, I'd be happy with the same. It's if he had missed the Spurs game and we played the Spurs game, I think it'll be a different story. But because the Spurs game's now been postponed, it's only the Liverpool game he missed. So obviously, I know he misses the Burnley game, but I think we've got enough in our team to beat Burnley anyway. Liverpool will be hard, and we do need him. Yeah, we not questioning my mind. We needed him against Liverpool. And he's gone and done that. So that's why I think a lot of people are pissed off. But yeah, he did apologise. I saw that. I'm just hoping Arteta next in the summer gets a new midfielder in. He can be a squad player.
Need something. Right. Yeah. Is that us done for today? Finished for today, do you think? Anything else that we forgot? I think we covered
quite a lot.
All right. Well, in that case, we'll say goodbye, adios to everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, code 2319.